5 344 to secure your place.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Good evening, this is Resettled Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And you are listening to Michael Jackson, and we will be talking about a few of the things in a few minutes. I'm the host for the rest of the program, and my name is Galwa Kshul. Stay tuned.
Just believe it's not. Nikupe, nikupe na wewe unipe, nishike, nikushike, kushike na mimi kushike. Black and beauty, you're my delight. Beautiful face and you smile so bright. Candlelight dinner, let me organize. Siku nyingi nina fantasize. Why can we have a special night? Me and you, looking at the twinkle light. It should be a day for me to memorize. No bother, bother, nobody to paradise. How about you? We will be together forever. Forever together everywhere. Together like birds of a feather. Me and you, oh, 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 oh. Kujani kupe chako. Na wewe unipe chango. Kujani kupe penzi. Na wewe unipe penzi.
Sorry, listeners, we will be back shortly. We are preparing. The guys are here. And I will continue entertaining you with the music. And stay tuned. I will be back shortly. Welcome back. Welcome to Russell Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And the house is back.
Yes, it's a long time being back.
Happy New Year. Did we meet?
Yes. I was here after the New Year. So, you know.
He's still waiting for Isedin to join us.
Yeah, Isedin on the way. I hope he's not caught by the traffic. And this is a place for fun, a place for sharing information, a place for sitting back at a flag, and a place for friendship as well.
And we do have other two people here.
And we have very important two people here. They will introduce themselves in a few minutes. But I want to introduce the topic for today, untying the knot. So we are talking about child marriage. So child marriage has become an issue nowadays and is on the news every time from all over the world. And so many issues have factored in. Different continents had different ways of handling the child marriage. And but it comes down to one. It's all about the economic
gains.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I used to, be back in my country. We used to have this sort of child marriages at the start. That's because, we also had the interbreeding marriages at the start, right? It was like, say, 10 to 20 years, a decade before, right? That we just had the intermarriage. It's like, you marry your cousin, right? And it's kind of interbreeding. And also the child marriages were very often happening.
And the major issue that I used to was exploring it is one of the major reasons was the war, right? Because the war created economic deprivation. And most of the time that you wouldn't know where your daughter going to end up to, right? And most often that, women need a protection, right? Because of the war and, everything that's happening around the country.
Yeah.
So they always had the need to be accompanied by the men because women have no safety.
Yeah.
Right? And that revolved around women being marrying early time, before even they undergo poverty.
That's right.
Right? So they even get married before even they undergo poverty. And that wasn't huge because they had an issue of, women being not safe enough to be around the country because of war and economic deprivation.
Yeah.
And one other side was the dowry, right? Because which was very often that the men have to give money to the women to, women have to give the money to the men to get married to a man.
And right? Then it comes to the question, can the dowry, the case of dowry be the question of the day? Because, it boils down to that.
Yeah.
Because, a lot of parents now, a girl become a commodity in the house.
It's become like a money. It's not girls in our country. In our culture, the boys become the commodity, right?
And that's also major the other way around.
This is also a major reason for our country having, it's also had the culture, and even in some part of India, they also had the culture to kill the girls. If your child is born as a girl, they used to kill them. Why? Because the guys are the money to the home.
Yeah.
Right? And the girls are the people that who lose money.
If that's the opposite of where I come from.
Yeah, right?
So, girls.
Yeah, because Isedin has told us, that it's very opposite in Sudan.
It's very opposite in Sudan, completely opposite. There's this lady, I went to the website of the United Nations, and I got the name of this lady by the name Teresa Kashidogomoto. Yeah. He's originally from, he is from Malawi. And I think we will talk about her when we come back, but I want the boys to introduce themselves to our listener. We have two young men here with us, and they can tell who they are.
Don't be shy.
Yeah. This is Zabi.
Yeah, Zabi.
It's not your first time, eh?
Yeah, I come couple's time.
Yeah, sometime you sit back there, sometime.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit back.
We have
this
one
is
other
for fun.
Brother with us.
You can tell your name? Yeah.
Hello, everybody. My name is Basil. I'm from Syria.
Yeah.
I'm a new here in New Zealand, maybe 4 months in New Zealand.
Welcome to New Zealand, man.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You will love it.
Just tell us, what was the craziest thing that you came across when you came here? It might be like, something that you feel like is different from back from the country in New Zealand? What was the different thing that's, you know, from back in the country that's compared to New Zealand?
Or maybe you can put it this way. The first time you came here, what was the first thing you see attractive?
Yeah.
Maybe the roads, maybe the traffic, maybe the landscape, maybe the ocean, you know, anything. Maybe the weather.
Yes, the weather here in New Zealand, every day change maybe four seasons.
Four seasons.
Yes. My country, not like that.
Different, eh?
Yes, different. Yeah. Yes.
You guys are not far away from us. It's just the other side of Red Sea.
Red Sea.
Yeah. How about the people?
People here in New Zealand is very friendly, really.
Good
people here in New Zealand.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
True. Yeah, we have this lady. She's a chief in one of the districts in Malawi. And she's 49 years old. And she is leading a population of 900,000.
900,000?
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
Led by a woman.
Yeah.
She's a voice.
Damn.
and what happened? she is fighting to abolish the early child marriage. And she fought very hard. And on the record, they say more than 850 child marriages, which she was fighting for, she helped them to come back.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. She broke the marriages.
Damn. That's pretty cool. And to be honest, at the countries we have economic deprivation, is children's, you know, they have no fixed life. So they don't know, you know, where they head into, right? So if something has happened between them that, you know, if they can't predict their future, and they wouldn't be very much flexible to decide who they want to marry with, you know?
Yeah. Just like America, I saw the website, I think it is Al Jazeera, quoting United States. It says a marriage is between two people, and anyone of the parties under the age of 18 is a child abuse. Yeah. And it's the abuse of the rights of the child. So, simple as that. But the problem is, some countries do not have the framework, do not have the rules to guide that. You know.
Yeah. And some countries, they don't even have a child rights conventions, right? Because I was finding out that even Malaysia and Thailand, they haven't even signed the International Children Convention, you know, Child Rights Convention, the CRC. And the most often, if the children's rights were not recognized in one side, and there was child abuse on the other side, right? So that was a major problem in two-sided way, right? Because one side, you do have no recognition about children's rights, and one side, you have more often, you know, children were married at their early time rather than they becoming an adult and getting into marriage, right? And those forced marriages also leading up to a lot of problem back in their life. Some of them, they can't even fix their life. Some of them, they feel they have too much burden, right? Because, you know, when you got married to someone that you literally have, you know, say, because I remember my mother used to tell me my grandmother had married when she was like 15 and she had like 8 children when she was like 16, right? So, which I would say, how you can handle 8 children when you are 16, right? You are still a child considerably, right? And having like low, you know, knowledge about how the world works. And then you also a child, and you also have to take care of 8 children. So that's in two way. It's not possible by, you know, anyone that taking care of 8 children, you know, to be honest, taking care of 1 children is the biggest responsibility.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the statistics is not good for some countries because, you know, it's very high. Especially in Southeast Asia and Africa. I think those are the highest. And we have some numbers here. The number one is Nigeria.
Oh, damn.
I think because of Boko Haram and all of those.
Yeah, all of those.
Yeah, all of those factors.
The tribal weddings as well.
Yeah, yeah. So Nigeria has 76%.
Oh, shit. That's way higher.
And we have Central African Republic.
Oh, damn.
68%.
Damn.
And we have Chad, 67%.
Shit.
That's why I wanted Ezzedine to be here, because he once lived in Chad.
Yeah, you know, once he go back to, you know, Chad, he get married.
Yeah.
So he said, in how many girls he got married to?
So they say, statistics says, 12 million girls under the age of 18 were married.
Married. 12 million girls.
Mm. Are being married each year.
This year?
Each year.
12 million girls.
12 million girls under the age of 18.
Oh, damn.
Before they get to their 18th birthday.
18th birthday.
This is crazy. Yeah. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, it's, because I would say even you aren't 18, you know, making a decision about your life is too much, right? And, you know, you have to take your time before you feel that you can get married. And, you know, just taking, you know, yourself, you know, from one place to the other, it's pretty harder, right? And it's knowing that you can make right decision, and at some time these marriages can be avoidable.
Yeah.
It can be avoidable. It's not something that cannot be preventable, right?
That's the problem, because some states, you know, they have no laws to prevent that. And especially in my country, if you read the constitution of South Sudan, it says the marriageable age. The child can be married, a girl child can be married at the age of marriageable age. So
there's no definitive age.
It could be, you know, 13, it could be 19, it could be anything in between.
So it's
very crazy. It shouldn't be like that.
It's pretty much like talking on two hands. You could say environmental condition, or, you know, economic condition, or even societal conditions are, you know, the major reasons for forced marriages or child marriages.
Mm.
But in one hand, if let's say that we can avoid them, what could be the benefit of avoiding a child marriage is having a younger generation that can focus on their dreams rather than, you know, being married. Because, you know, all back in my country, I used to say that marriages were the biggest concentration, rather than, you know, getting a job, rather than, you know, pursuing their passion, or rather than, you know, being in employment, or, you know, driving economy, right? Younger people need to work for their life, right? Work for their economic, you know, improvements of their life, you know, financially building themselves, and also work, you know, doing something that they like to do, right? If they get married early, they were too tied with their responsibilities. It's pretty hard for them to be a parent and also taking care of their passion.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the biggest heavy load on their head.
And that's why also we have high death rates, you know, when it comes to pregnancies of young children. Because first of all, they say, oh, you know, they did not plan this one. Sometimes they want to, you know, make an abortion, and there's risk to that. And also they are contracted to a lot of diseases, you know, such as HIV, AIDS, and other diseases. This is a cause for all that.
Yeah, that labor can be, you know, much more increased if you have early pregnancies. Like, you know, at the stage that your bones are not matured, right?
Yeah,
because girls, when they undergo labor, the bones have to be, you know, contracted, right?
Yeah,
to be open or stretched out when the baby comes out. But when they are very much early at their, you know, poverty, or, you know, during their poverty, you know, if they are early time, their bones are not strength enough to, you know, deliver a baby. So these are the leads to death at labor, right? And also, you know, early child fertility, because, you know, at some time the child wasn't growing well, right? The fetus is not growing well, and it can have early abortions very quicker. Right, because they are not prepared. Their body is not prepared yet to give a baby out. Right, and I wonder, my grandmother, you know, had 8 children when she was 16. I can't even wonder how, you know, the childbirth could be, you know, when she was 16, within that time she had like 8 children.
Yeah, but those days having more kids is like, you know, having some investments.
Yeah, it's
because they will help you one day, and
yeah, and you get money.
No girls.
But in one way, you know, killing girls also created a, you know, a split in the population. That's, you know, there's a lot of men compared to, you know, having less women. So what's going to happen to the next generation is having less women, then the men going to compete for women.
Yeah.
Right? Then men have to pay money to the woman to get married.
That's crazy.
Because, you know, you have 10 people for 100 people. Right? So that's going to be a bigger issue, yeah, to the next generation. That's...
Yeah, we will come back. This is a very touchy topic, and we will discuss it, and we will be coming back. Let's play some music here. Fale Ipupa from Nigeria.
Let's listen.
Original.
Yep, welcome back. And we have been talking about the child marriage, the early child marriage, and what can be done to prevent it, and what has the world done to prevent it from happening. One lady from Malawi is making great change there. She already brought back 850 girls married under the age of 18. And this is a very big achievement. Also, Malawi, the government of Malawi, has taken an extra step by amending the constitution, changing the marriage age from 15 to 18, which is a very positive development.
Yeah, and it's pretty in one way to other way. They're talking about New Zealand. New Zealand also have the first child marriages in concept as well, because Sakti Youth has been working with the forced marriages for all over the years between Middle East and Asian and African communities, and migrant and refugee communities and refugee women. And they one of them have mentioned in one of the newsletters that I was reading that the earliest marriages that they came across was 14 years old, and they didn't conduct a legal marriage. They conduct a culturally cooperated marriages in here, and one way or the other that they did a good job in New Zealand as well, because they put a constitution for the forced marriage amendment bill, right, which restrict anyone who is 15 and 16 years old. They have to, even they are, they are considered minor, because if you are about 16, then by legally you are not a minor anymore.
Yeah.
But they legalize that one in the marriage, that if you are 15 and 16, that you are a minor.
A minor.
And your, parents can't decide your marriage, as we have, you are power to decide what you wanted to do.
And there's also one thing with this, how do you call it, the cultural, the arranged marriage. Sometimes it's being arranged, and maybe the girl is under the age, and they say, it's very common in South Sudan where I come from. They say, oh, you have to wait until the girl has grown to the marriageable age.
Yeah.
And but now you are the husband, and you have to wait until the girl, Some families say you have to wait until the girl has to make a decision, because when she's grown up, she might have a right to say no, And or she will say yes. You never know. But some parents say, no matter what happens, you are the husband of that girl. Which is pretty sad.
And that's pretty, similar story back in my country, that we used to have, a girl and the boy will be fixed at the earliest stage. They might be like interbreeding, stage. It might be your mother's brother, or it might be someone who is a cousin to you, right? And they let them decide and say they are fixed for life, right? And that was, I think that is some kind of flexibility over the families who were marrying each other to, but it's pretty much the same story of, that they said you are fixed to that girl, and the boy has to fix to her, and they cannot change, whether they're gonna, go on the other side or not. They cannot make the decision anymore, right? Yeah. They even arrange marriages. They also have the forced marriage concept.
Yeah, they have the forced marriage.
Yeah, even they are 18, they still get forced marriage.
We had one last year in South Sudan, and even it took some headlines. There was a girl, I don't know, I think she's 16 or 17, something to do with 16 and a half. And she is 7 foot tall.
Oh, damn.
And it's like an auction, because so many men are on and they want to ship in, And one guy took her. He paid three Land Cruisers, the big one.
Oh, damn.
Three of them.
Damn.
If you break down the cost of that V8. Yeah. And he paid 500 cows as dowries. 500 cows, and each cow is about $200 to $300 each.
Yeah.
So if you multiply it by 500 cows, so that would bring you a more, over $100,000. So over $100,000. That's compared to the three V8 cars, Toyota Land Cruisers. which would cause more than that. So it's like the CNN took it seriously because this is, it looks like an auction because some guys were paying 300 cows, some were paying 200 cows, some was paying, you know, show up for a field less than that. And the parents, you know, are happy to receive all those.
It's a pretty same story in Romania as well, because I was watching a documentary in The Vice about Romanian bride for sale. They do have like a market that they sell, you know, the brides. So if the girl, you know, reach their age and, you know, and they tend to, the parents tend to think, all right, they are at the right age to get married. And what they do is they take the girls to the market. It's kind of an annual market. They go there and they address the girls, you know, in a good looking way. And then the guys go in and they trade with the father and the mother. Right, and they say, I have, you know, this much of money. I have $100,000 on my hand. Do you, you know, want it to trade in? Right, it's pretty much like a bride for sale. It's kind of a cultural thingy, but it was aged back like 100 years back. You know, this has been happening every year, and it's still happening in Romania, right? And I was like, oh, this is kind of a culture that's, you know, need to be considered, you know, to seen as something that people have to consider of what valuable that people lifestyle. Because I would really say, you know, this is something would break in, just because at some time you wouldn't know who the guy is, you know. Getting, even with arranged marriages, you know, even forced marriages, at some time you have the complexity of understanding, you know, someone's life, right? And understanding whether they're going to fit, you know, with you, or whether you would like to live your life with someone like that. Or, you know, because there's a lot of complexity behind
it. Yeah, and also the worst part of it is, you know, the kids married by older men. You know, how in the world would you do with, it's like your child in the house, and then you think it's a wife, you know. It doesn't make sense at all, because she will even behave like a kid in your own house. It's not a wife, it's a kid. Yeah. Why would you need that behavior anyway? Yeah.
It's pretty much, you know, it's also leads into, you know, because I was reading the recent article on the, I think it was one of the Indian Express, that they listed out, you know, the issue in India for the menstruation. When the women undergo menstruation, they put them in their separate shelter, right? And there was a woman who had died, you know, by being in the shelter. And I was like, oh, this is still a culture, and it's still being kept for years now, right? So one of the things that is changing human behaviors and human thinking is pretty harder, right? Yeah. Into a society which doesn't even understand what the complexity of. Because one time I've been back into one of my village that my mother born into, and I went in there, and they do have the caste system, you know, that they do have different castes. Back in the village, right? And in the city, you don't have the caste system anymore.
Yeah, you don't have it.
But in the village, they still kept the caste system.
Yeah, they still keep it.
And I went in, I don't have knowledge, because I born in, like, city, and I lived in the city, right? And recently moved to the village. And when I came across, I never had the thought about they having different castes, and they have to, because, you know, they have, like, eating thingy. So they only give them food after they eat. You know, so the higher caste have to eat it first, rather than the lower caste. So I went to, you know, give the food to the lower caste, and the higher caste people just shouted at me and said, don't give them food now.
So you acted against the law.
Yeah, because they are low, right?
And they didn't know.
And I tried to change them, you know, what you get by just giving, you know, them food later.
Yeah.
What are you going to get? There's nothing that you can gain, right? It's, they can have food at the same time that we're having food, right? There is nothing that they can gain from. I was talking from intellectual, you know, from my brain, as from my knowledge, but it's pretty harder to change them, right? I was like, oh, this is pretty hard to change them. But then in India, that I learned that there, you know, there was women who stood up against the men who doesn't have toilets, because they had an issue of toilets, and, you know, in India, that in India, that, you know, they don't have toilets back in the places, right? Yeah. And so when women as a group, they've idealized that if they want to get married, the men have to have a toilet in their house.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you want to get married to a girl, right? So you have to have a toilet in the house to get married. If you don't have a toilet, the woman never going to marry you. So it started by, teaching, the women and empowering the women to be intellectual, right? To think that in a way that they enforce what they want to achieve in the future, right? Because, it's good to have those thoughts in between them. And that's the pretty same story with child marriages.
Yeah.
Is put, teach the children at the earliest stages. It is not acceptable to get married when they are minor. Right, and teach them that these are the things that you will expect, right, when you go into, I really wanted that kind of education to be poured into our children at their child age. So when they go into, their later ages, like when they are 15 and 16, they would know what they are making, what their decision that they are making.
Yeah. Maybe the two guys will have the attack after we come back. What about your thoughts, guys? So we will come back and,
Just ask them as well. Savi is good experience.
You guys are not married yet. Are you going to get little girls?
Yeah. Savi, you're going to get little girls now.
So we are taking break now with the Syrian music. Stay tuned and we'll come back.
قالت يا ولدي لا تحزن قالت يا ولدي لا تحزن الحب عليك هو المكتوب يا ولدي الحب عليك هو المكتوب الحب عليك هو المكتوب يا ولدي الحب عليك هو المكتوب يا ولدي يا ولدي قد مات شهيدا يا ولدي قد مات شهيدا شهيدا من مات فداء للمحبوب من مات فداء للمحبوب من مات فداء للمحبوب من مات فداء
That's sweet music from Syria, from Damascus. I like the tune, though. I like the tune, though.
You can describe what is
it? I think he's singing in Arabic, eh?
Is it
Arabic or Persian?
Yes, this song, Arabic, Syrian song.
Yeah, Syrian song. It's really nice, eh?
It's pretty good music.
But anyway, music, it does not need translation because you get along with the tune.
Don't understand.
it doesn't matter what it's saying. As long as the tune is good, you get going with it. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have been talking about the child marriage, what should be done, and why it's there. and who is making benefits out of these young girls, the parents, and those men under the camouflage. You know, it's a very bad practice in a way.
It's pretty conceivable to, you know, just talk about child marriages have the issue of
who is to blame. Is either to blame the parents or is to blame the social norm, because we said we were talking before and we were saying, all right, if you say, let's say you say no, right, as a child, you say no, you're gonna be looked like a rebel, because it's pretty much like everyone saying yes and it's pretty much a social norm there. And how could we change this perspective? We were looking at, you know, how that women change the perspective about toilets. Right, yeah. And they use marriages as a toilet, you know, as a bargain for toilets with the men. They argued if the men gonna marry them, they should have a toilet. So that's enforced sanitary reform that has happened in India. So it could be facilitated in a very different way. How we can educate the next generation is by empowering young women about child marriages. Tell them,
because the child marriage affects their education, the child marriage affects their health. You know, they are not as strong as they used to. And, you know, it reduces the lifespan of the child. That's not good at all. It shouldn't happen in the first place.
And it can be avoidable in one case. But we have to ask this question to, to our brother from Syria and then from Zabi as well. So, you know, let's ask the question to our brother from Syria. Just tell us, that what do you think from, you know, what do you think that whether how that could be avoidable, and, you know, what were your thoughts about child marriages?
I think we have to empower the women organizations, you know, fighting for the rights of the child, or any organizations out there like the World Vision, like the UNICEF, you know, going out there fighting for the rights of the child. This is about the rights and the democracy of the child. You know, the child has no voice here, but all the rights are taken away by some forces, you know, and some of these forces are the parents. You know, the child got nothing to do with that, you know, and she cannot, if she says no, she's a rebel in the house.
Yeah,
and she cannot say no.
Yeah, and it's I would say, you know, one way or the you know, we have to empower the NGOs who are on the field, who are working on it.
Yeah.
And NGOs also have to come up with, you know, permanent solutions, right? I would really say a sustainable solution would be educating them at the primary level, right? Telling them, you know, in a one way or the other.
And it's awareness, child education.
It's pretty much like awareness, child education, educating our younger women at schools. They can start like reformable, you know, intervention at school, teaching them, you know, how to prepare for life, right? Say no, right? And if there is something you guys, how we can enforce it. And also reform the legislation and bringing our police services, you know, or the constitution, all the policies, you know, to protect women from marrying at the earlier ages, right? And sometimes, you know, culture or religion might be a biggest barrier, because I do see that people blame the culture and religion for, you know, early marriages and just say, oh, it's just because it's in our culture, right? It's not cultural, it's kind of economic, because back in the history that we look back at, if you say in grandma's, you know, my grandma's time, it was necessary for them to marry at the earlier ages.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was less money, there was less economic, you know, fertilization, or it also had the protection issue that, you know, women are not safer. But nowadays, women are very safer, right? Women have their own rights and can educate themselves.
And they have a voice too, so.
Yeah, so
this is very hot topic in a way. This is a very wide topic and it's very large. We cannot get the solution at one day, but, you know, we have to keep on advocating for the rights of the child.
Yeah, and just keep the movement.
The practice is bad. It should be discouraged at all levels. It doesn't benefit any humanity. It's sad, it's bad, and it should be stopped.
Yeah.
And so, please, if you are listening, do your part. Talk to those NGOs, let them do more, and also help in your own way those NGOs that are doing their part in that practice.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, just keep supporting, keep the movement, and support. Even just Shakti does some forced marriages work, and even World Vision and UNICEF does those works.
Yeah.
And keep supporting and keep being there and educate your children as well.
Yep. And this comes to the end of our program, and we will be back again on Saturday, same time. And we will leave you with Ed Sheeran, Shape of You.
Yeah. See you guys.
See you, stay safe.
So go all you can eat, fill up your bag and I fill up the plate. We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family's doing okay. And even getting a taxi, kissing the backseat, tell the driver make the radio play. And I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come on now, follow my lead. Mm-hmm.